morning, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. So my first guest this morning is has been on the show before. Her name is Laura Enright. She's the author of several books, including her latest in the Chicago Vampire series. It's called Ujali. For more information, you can check out her website at laura-enright.com. That's E-N-R-I-G-H-T, laura-enright.com. But we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And let's talk to Laura right now. Hey, Laura, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing?
All right. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your background before we get to the latest book. You are born and raised here in Chicago, and you actually grew up in Harwood Heights, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
St. Eugene's School for the grade school, and then I actually went to Maine South. I was in the one section of Harwood Heights that could go to Maine South in Park Ridge.
Oh, okay. So you went to Maine South. Everybody I know from that area actually is Ridgewood still around?
I'm not sure. Actually, I think it is.
Yeah, is it? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, so Ridgewood is. I remember that was a lot of my friends who lived in that area went there.
Yeah, so it was either that or Ridgewood. So I went to Maine South.
You went to Maine South. All right. So when did you become interested in writing, Laura? Was it something that captured your imagination early on?
I've always been interested. I think the first memory of really wanting to write down something was probably about age 12.
Yeah.
But I always liked telling stories and getting things across to people and things like that. So I think I always had that in me.
Was there anything that you read when you were younger that stuck out? Was there a certain author, a certain style, or something that really captured you?
When I was real young, I used to read I think every young girl likes to read about dogs and horses and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Sure.
So there was a book series by Albert Payson Terhune called one of his first books was Lad of Sunnybank.
Yeah.
He would okay.
Yeah, I know that one, yeah.
Okay. He'd write these stories about these dogs that he would have on his farm in New Jersey. They're like from the 1930s. And I just loved the way they were written, and they really captured my attention. So I think that kind of really made me fall in love with the whole literary world.
Okay, interesting. All right, Laura, listen, hang on, all right?
Okay.
Now, listen, when we come back after the news, we're going to play a thing that's on YouTube of you actually reading from the prologue of your book.
Okay.
All right, we're going to play that, and that'll set us up, and then we'll talk about the book after that, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so hang on a second. Laura Enright is with us. Her latest book is called Ujali, and it's the latest in her series of Chicago vampire stories. We'll tell you all about that and more. And we'll hear Laura actually reading from the book. That'll be coming up after the news, which is up next.
She seemed to be resting comfortably. The diminutive Indian woman, having experienced many decades of life, now lay quietly in the bed of her room in the assisted living complex into which she had been moved the previous year. A nasal cannula provided oxygen to lungs overtaxed by age, and the machine made a slight hissing sound as it provided its relief. Was this the sound that had replaced that sweet tinkle of a laugh from so long ago? Narain blinked at the moisture forming in his eyes, looking down at the old woman lying so still in the bed. He mouthed her name, Ujali. The little girl he had lifted so easily, the little girl he had left behind. She had grown, married, raised a family, spoiled her grandchildren, and rejoiced in the birth of two great-grandchildren before her vibrancy began to dim. She was 97, and time was very quickly running out. It had taken 2.5 years to track her down using a variety of methods, including detectives on 2 continents. Narain hadn't even been sure what he would say to her if he found her, or, for that matter, why he initiated the search. He just couldn't shake the pressing need to find her. He needed to know if she still lived, and if so, if she had had a good life.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and then the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning show, as it is every day right here on WGN. What you just heard there was our guest, Laura Enright, who is the author of her latest book is called Ujjali, and that was the beginning of the book. That was right at the top of the book, a little portion of the prologue in the book Ujjali, and we welcome Laura Enright back. Nice reading there, Laura.
Thank you.
Very nice. Do you enjoy doing that? Do you do a lot of book readings?
It's kind of fun. I've been doing it more with the two novels that I've, because I wanted something to, when they were going to be released, I wanted something to put up on the Facebook page and stuff. So, yeah, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it must be. It must be a lot of fun. Well, let's talk about the book. That was an intriguing beginning. Now, first of all, I think in order to talk about this one, we should probably talk about To Touch the Sun. Tell us about that. That's the first book in the Chicago Vampire series.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration for that? And tell me about the first book, and then how does that lead into what we just heard?
Well, the first book was written primarily as an experiment by me because I wanted to see if I could do a vampire novel. I was trying to pursue an agent who the agency represented vampire novels, and I noticed that, and I figured, well, I'll give it a shot. You know, I liked vampire novels. I've read them, but I never had an interest in writing one, and so I decided, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Now, you did write a book. It was not a novel, but you did write a book about vampires. It was called Vampires Most Wanted.
Yeah, that was actually written after I wrote, I think, the first two in the series.
Oh, okay.
Trying to sell, after I fell in love with these first two books, I was trying to sell them. So I figured, well, you know, Potomac was looking for another book in their Most Wanted series. So I thought, well, you know, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll write Vampires Most Wanted, and it'll hopefully help me open the door to a publisher for the other book.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So back to Touch the Sun, how you started.
Huh?
Back to Touch the Sun.
Yeah. So that's where To Touch the Sun came about, and I kind of experimented with the idea. I was laughing last time I was on because the original title was A Vampire Chef.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so it was that was really all I had to start with. So I kind of built on ideas, and it started out much differently than how it ended. But I wanted to toy with the idea of a vampire that was different than your typical, like, Eastern European or British vampire. So I chose an Indian vampire, and he became a vampire during World War One. And I myself wanted to explore what it would be like to have your life totally changed by this. I look at it more like a condition in the books. So, you know, you're just going along and suddenly your life has changed. And it's almost like if you have a chronic condition like diabetes or something, and you have to adjust your life to that. Of course, this is a much more dangerous condition.
Yeah.
But I wanted to examine it from that perspective. And he's forced to, Narain Khan is forced to do a lot of things that morally he's against, of course, you know, the basic taking of blood. He lucked out. He found a woman who, if he was feeding off her, they were in love, and she allowed him to feed off her. So that meant he didn't have to go out hunting for his food.
Mm-hmm.
When To Touch the Sun opens, she's been gone a year, and now he's forced with the reality of having to return back to that life again. He's a popular chef in Chicago. He owns a restaurant. He has a normal business partner named Dom, and if he doesn't attend to this issue, he could turn feral and just, you know, lose control completely, and, you know, it's the last thing he wants to do, being a popular chef. So this is his crossroads. This is his problem when To Touch the Sun opens. And then, of course, some other things are thrown at him, like the reemergence of a nemesis from his past. So I kind of wanted to play with that idea. You know, what do you do if your life is just completely thrown off kilter like that?
Mm. Did the idea always, as you were writing it, did you realize this is going to be a series and not just one book as it was happening?
Toward the end of the book, I didn't really, and toward the end of the book, and then I think I threw in the prologue, the prologue in the second book is the epilogue in the first book.
Mm.
I threw in the epilogue because I had alluded to the situation in Ujjali. He's looking for his sister who would be 97 years old. She was 5 when he went off to World War One. So I had that in, it kind of threaded into the first book. I felt, well, I should close that somehow. But then as I was writing the epilogue, I came up with the idea for the sequel. And so I figured, oh, okay, I'll try that. I didn't expect to write more in the series. But once I had the sequel, it just kind of flowed as more characters came in, and I wanted to examine what they'd been through in their after their conversion.
Mm.
There's a character in Ujjayi that enters in Ujjayi that goes has his own story in the fourth book that examines what it's like if you don't have the castle in Transylvania to flee to, or you don't have the money. I mean, we spoke about this once before. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem that bad being a vampire. You live forever, you're beautiful, you have all this money. What if that wasn't the case? What if you didn't have all this money? What if it wasn't so easy? What if you, you know, you have to avoid the sunlight during the day? What do you do? That kind of thing. When
yeah.
it's, you know, or you don't have to sleep at all, so you're up 24 hours, but you have nothing to do because at the time it's not a 24-hour society. So I wanted to play with those ideas a lot.
We've talked about vampires before, Laura, and I find vampires to be very just a fascinating character in horror, both in literature and in film.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been explored in many, many, many unique ways. I happen to not be a fan of the Twilight.
No,
movies.
I think we agree on that. We concur.
Yeah. I don't know. I grew up watching horror films, as you know. But we talked about this before. But you mentioned it. There's something very, very alluring and very sexy about vampires because
mm-hmm. yeah.
you live forever. Mm-hmm. You exist at night. There's something
yeah.
very sexual about that, and very sensual and. And, the idea of, like, sucking one's blood and all that stuff, and you can do a lot with that. There's a lot to, a lot of stuff going on there. And was that one of the reasons why you gravitated towards that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, vampires have to be this, or vampires have to be that. You have both camps. Vampires have to be scary, or vampires have to be evil, or vampires have to be sexy or romantic. And I just figured what keeps the genre fresh is the fact that there are so many takes out there. I don't like Twilight much either, but you got to admit, she did do her own take on it.
She did, yeah.
It's a genre that you can do so many takes with that's what keeps it going, even though the popularity may ebb and flow.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And so when you were younger, did vampires enter into your life at some point?
I read, of course I knew of Dracula and all that, but I read Anne Rice's Interview with a Vampire in, I think it might have been 14 or something. Got it from the Science Fiction Book Club all those years ago. And I liked the idea of showing it from the vampire's perspective. I enjoyed the series after that to an extent. I mean, I think she dragged it on a little long. But, I think that was where what really my first real taste of being interested in it in a literary fashion.
Do you have favorite vampire films?
I have, I have. We spoke once before of Let the Right One In,
yeah,
which I love. There's a Korean film called Thirst.
Yes,
I love that film.
Yep.
And again, it goes, and I think it must be me, but it goes to that. It shows this guy trying to deal with the situation, which I think is kind of, trying to deal with the moral aspects too. I like Dracula the Bela Lugosi Dracula to an extent. I think there were a lot of missed opportunities with that. And actually, the Spanish version is much better.
I agree. I agree with you, Laura. I think the Spanish version is better. And yeah. I love the Lugosi version. It's a legend. It's classic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big, huge movie in my childhood. But that Spanish version is really pretty great.
Oh, yeah. They know from what I understood, they would watch the English production, and then of course they had the sets at night when they would film it, and the director said he'd watch what the English director would do, and he'd do everything the opposite way.
Yeah,
so
the acting is much more bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
The style is different than what Browning did. It's a pretty interesting movie to watch. And if you actually if you get the Universal Classic Monsters DVD package.
Mm-hmm.
Both versions are on that.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun.
He held back too much. And I think part of it was because, at the time, right after they started production, that's when the Depression started.
Right.
I think he was getting a lot of mixed messages from the studio on how far he could go. But I think part of it was his I don't think he handled the material correctly as well as he could.
Yeah, your handling of the vampire, the idea of vampires. First of all, I love the fact. I mean, you're born and raised here in Chicago, but I love the fact that that they take place here.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is, because you can actually recognize locations and you get a feel for it. And
yeah.
You obviously know the city, and you know the heartbeat of the city and what the city's really about. And you can feel that throughout the entire series.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
I'm glad that went off. In the fourth book, I go back to the 1930s Chicago.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, the character joins the mob, small.
Now, that's another one of your fascinations.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about that. Hold on, Laura, okay? All right, Laura Enright is here. She is the author of the latest book in the Chicago Vampire series. It's called Ujali, and if you're interested in checking it out, she's written several books. This is the second of her Chicago Vampire series, which is going to continue. We'll talk more about that and her fascination with the mob, which also resulted in a book. All of that and more is coming up. All right, it's 312-981-7200. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We'll be right back. Morning. Nick DeGilio, 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio here till 5. And I thought that was a very clever bump to play, considering what our topic is. Because the band, for those of you who don't know, that band is called Vampire Weekend. See? Get it? It's Vampire Weekend. See? Clever. This is Laura Enright. Hi, Laura.
I happen to love Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, I figured you did.
It's a fun group. You know, before I go any further, I've been asked to say hello to you from Liz Braun.
From who?
Liz Braun.
Liz Dawn.
Liz Braun, B-R-A-U-N.
Oh, Liz Braun. Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah.
How is she doing?
She's doing well. She's working for McDonald's corporate.
Oh, good. Good for her. Yeah. Now, Liz used to do the news, and I worked with her on Saturday nights for some time. Yeah, she's great. She's also a major geek, which I love.
Awesome.
and she would take that as a compliment. Yeah.
Well, her husband's a major geek, too. So.
She got married?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. Good for her. That's cool. Okay.
The husband is actually the board president of the Eisenhower Library, which is my hometown from Howard Heights Library. My dad used to be on the board. So
now is her husband one of the Ghostbusters?
I don't. What do you mean?
She hangs out with the Ghostbusters. She does she dresses up like a Ghostbuster and
he
drives.
Might be. I mean, he gets into that sort of stuff.
I think he is, because I've met. I think she was dating him when the last time I saw, I had her and all the Ghostbusters here in the studio.
Okay,
and
maybe that is.
They drove up. What do they call the car, Dan?
Ecto-1.
Ecto-mobile,
yeah.
They had that parked out in front here of the station, and they caused a damn riot with the thing. So, we'll give Liz my best, will you?
Sure. Yeah. Pass it on.
Okay. Well, all right, listen, let's talk a little bit about your sort of, I mean, obviously, because you're from Chicago, everybody has an interest in the mafia and the mob simply because of the history of this city. How did it start for you? And I noticed that you're going to take your vampires into that route as well.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny with the title for the first book, Chicago's Most Wanted. It's a book about Chicago as a whole, but people see the most wanted part and they instantly think it's a mob book.
Right.
Although the mob is in there, that's kind of where it started actually. When I was researching that book, and I wanted a chapter on the mob. I mean, there was always that subtle interest, and I don't want to say the glamour of the outfit, but it's there whether we like it or not.
Right.
When I was in England in the 80s, they had some pizza place, and it was all Capone stuff all over the place, So it precedes us, the reputation of the outfit.
It certainly does. It's still to this day. I mean, it's so many years later and everything, and it's Al Capone. Is everybody, if you go to any foreign country, and Al Capone is mentioned immediately when they say you're from Chicago.
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it started, and I tend to fall into things a lot. Like I said, I didn't expect to write a vampire book, so now I can't stop writing them.
Right.
And then the same with the Chicago thing. The first book was something I never expected to write either, but I did it hoping to get my foot in the door. I was always interested in fiction prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought to write a nonfiction book. And then, now I'm completely interested in nonfiction as well. I kind of write both fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah.
So, and actually, right now I'm working on a book with a gentleman whose dad was falsely accused of being a loan shark in 1960s Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a pretty big trial at the time, but it was like 65, 67. It's a compelling story. It's a bit complicated, but it's compelling. And it's about how the family was affected by this. I think the prosecution was a little overzealous. The dad was accused of the loan sharking, and he was brought up on all these charges. They only found him guilty of conspiracy. And from what I understand, the jury wasn't even sure they wanted to go that route, but they had to. But so after that, his life fell apart. His family's life fell apart. His son, who had to, from day to day, worry whether or not the mob was going to kill his dad or the feds were going to put him in jail, had a breakdown. And that affected his life for several years after that. I mean, he was a young guy. He was just graduating college and things like that. So it's a really compelling story. It involved a lot of research. So
wow. And so you're working on that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do want to mention that you are actually going to be discussing your first book, Chicago's Most Wanted, which is what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
On March 14th, you're going to be at the Fountaindale Public Library in Bolingbrook.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's at 6:30. And what's the plan for that evening, March 14th? Fountaindale Public Library in Bolingbrook, talking about Chicago's Most Wanted.
I'm going to see if I can find my way to the Fountaindale Library at Bolingbrook.
Yeah.
I tend to get lost sometimes.
Yeah.
It'll be, just kind of discussing Chicago as a whole and some of the points that I bring up in the book. I'll probably mention the mob. And I love talking about that book. I love talking about Chicago. It's just fascinating. I'm reading a book now called, I think it's called Flickering Empire,
mm-hmm.
about the how integral Chicago was to movie making back in silent
yeah.
area.
Oh yeah.
It's just amazing.
It's unbelievable. I mean, Chicago yeah. Chicago was Hollywood before Hollywood.
Oh yeah, yeah. In all sorts of things, how important Chicago was.
Yeah.
You know, even in TV, yourself, TV. We had a pretty major local TV market here.
We did, and it's starting to come back.
That's,
the way they're shooting. I mean, Dick Wolf is putting like thousands of people to work here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of those things, I do want to mention before I let you go. One of the other things that you and I have in common, Laura, is a love for Craig Ferguson.
Oh God, I want to see that show so bad.
Have you?
Don't have cable.
Oh, you don't have cable? Oh, Laura. Oh, it's Join or Die is the name of his new show.
Yeah.
It's pretty great, Laura. It's pretty great.
I wonder if he puts anything on YouTube, because he was doing that with his talk show for so long.
Yeah, there's some stuff on YouTube that you can see, clips here and there. But, the best part of the show, it's still finding its legs. It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
great. It's still finding its legs. It's only been on three times.
Uh-huh.
But the best part is the first 5 minutes, which is basically his monologue. And it is so great. And just so you know, Laura, he has brought the Paul McCartney, Angela Lansbury joke. He's already done that twice, and so
you don't want to get rid of the classic.
No, you can't. You can't get rid of it. But anyway, just to let you know, it's really good. If you get a chance, check it out.
He's still doing that other game show.
He is. Yes, Celebrity Name Game. That's that one. You should be able to get, because it's not on cable.
Yeah, but I couldn't get into it. I didn't like it.
There's not a whole lot of him in it.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
him more. And
yeah,
just,
I agree. Well,
yeah,
listen, Laura, always a pleasure.
Yeah,
and
this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I really want to thank you for joining me. The book is called Ujali. And you can get all the information at laura-enright.com, but we have a link on our Facebook page. And you're looking to do book number three. You want book number three to come out by the end of this year, correct?
I hope so, yeah.
Okay. All right, that's great.
Thanks
Laura,
so much, Nick.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
All right,
bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. That's Laura Enright. She's really cool and a really, really good writer. Chicago's Most Wanted is a very terrific book. That's the first time we ever talked before. And now this series of Chicago vampire books, really good stuff. Laura Enright is her name.